So before I start, let's pray. Dear loving Father, we thank you for your words to us today, and we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our inner ears, that we would hear you and that your word would come alive deep within us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, who is Jesus? Well, in the beginning, when the earth is a dark, empty space, God speaks his light into the darkness, and there is life. So, what is this light? 1 John 1, 5 tells us, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. The light is God. The light is life. It's his goodness, his glory, his perfect state. And so God separates the light from the darkness. And he makes us, you and me, in his likeness. So we are made God's children, children of light. But we reject God. We choose to believe Satan, the father of lies. And so we become children of darkness. And from this moment on, we are lost, aimless, split from God. But God is faithful. Through his prophet Isaiah, in chapter 9, verse 2, God promises, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Then in chapter 1 of his gospel, the disciple John, who witnessed the light, who knew the light, tells us that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into this world, that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God's light shines into the world once more. But this time it comes as a baby, a human child. This time it comes in the person of Jesus. So who is Jesus? Jesus is God's light who shines in the darkness. But John tells us that though the world was made through him, the world did not know him. And this is what we find here today in chapter 12, verse 34. In Jesus' final public appearance, in his last moments with the crowd, what we find so sadly is unbelief. Now, let me tell you something about this crowd, right? They were there when Jesus gave sight back to a man born blind. They were there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb. They were there yesterday, just yesterday, on the streets of Jerusalem, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, as Jesus rode in on a donkey. In fact, this crowd has been so sure that Jesus is the Son of God that the Pharisees have started plotting his death. So why, just one day later, have the crowd changed their minds? Why don't they believe Jesus is who he says he is? The Messiah, because Jesus has predicted his death. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, he says. Then in verses 31 to 32, now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. See, Jesus is trying to tell them who he is, the Son of Man, Emmanuel, God with them. And he's come not just to save the Jews, but the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus says, when I am lifted onto the cross, from the dead into heaven, all those whose hearts are convicted by the Holy Spirit will see me for who I am. God's light who shines in the darkness. But the crowd doesn't get this. See, they don't get how Jesus can be God if he's going to die. So in verse 34, they shout, "We have heard from the law that the Son of Man, the Messiah, will remain forever. So how can you say, Jesus, the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Now, the crowd's probably thinking of Old Testament passages like Ezekiel 37 or 2 Samuel 7 that promise the Messiah, a king from David's throne, will rule forever. But what they forget are passages about the suffering servant. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Even though just a second ago, in verse 28, they hear God's voice thundering from heaven, and Jesus says this voice is for them, so they'll believe. But John tells us in verse 37 that even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. No matter how religious they are, how many times they go to synagogue, how well they know their scripture, even with God's light standing right in front of them, they don't recognize him. But before we go judging this crowd, let me ask you, if Jesus were to come in here right now, would we recognize him? As we attend church, as we worship, as we pray, which do we prefer, light or darkness? Do we let God and others show us our faults? Do we admit our mistakes and ask forgiveness? Or do we hide them? Do we point instead to other people's faults? Do we try to hide our weaknesses with good deeds? And aren't we just as forgetful, just as indecisive, just as capable of unbelief as this crowd? One minute, we can be convicted. We believe. And the next, something happens. And we worry. We get resentful. We feel shame. But see, if we worry, it's because we're forgetting. We don't believe deep enough in God's wisdom. If we get resentful, it's because we don't believe deep enough in his mercy. And if we feel shame, it's because we don't believe deep enough in his love. And so we remind ourselves, we ask ourselves, who is Jesus to me? Because just as Jesus has given the crowd many, many signs, he's also given us plenty of evidence, historical, the Bible, the Gospels. We can talk to fellow Christians, even people of other faiths. And then we consider the person of Jesus, who he was, what he did, the things he said. I am the way, the truth, the life. I mean, who talks like that? If Jesus wasn't God, then who was he? But here's the thing. If we don't think Jesus was lying or evil or nuts, then we're only left with one choice, that Jesus is Lord. And friends, if this is true, if Jesus is God himself come to be with us, then we ask ourselves, what does this mean? Verse 35, then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going." See, if Jesus is the light, if Jesus is Lord, we have two choices. either we see Jesus, we choose Jesus, and we follow Jesus and walk in light, or we reject Jesus and walk in darkness. So it's very clear, either we respond to the light and we walk in the light, or we reject Jesus and walk in darkness. Now, this might seem harsh to some of us, but see, Jesus is just trying to warn us that every minute of every day we are at war, spiritual war, between light and darkness, good and evil, truth and lies, life and death. Because until Jesus comes again and wipes all darkness from this earth, 1 John 5 tells us, the whole world is under the power of the evil one. It's like in the Star Wars movies, isn't it? The dark side versus the light side. Well, for Christians especially, the dark side and the light side are a battle in our hearts. This is why some days when we pray, we can really feel God's presence, can't we? God's there. And then other days we pray and nothing. And this is why when the crowd question Jesus, when they put him down, Jesus doesn't get mad. He doesn't even argue with them. Instead, he pleads with them. He reminds them of who he is. In John 8, verse 12, when he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, Jesus knows what's really going on with this crowd, light versus darkness. He knows the next time they see him, they'll be shouting, crucify him, crucify him. So Jesus pleads with them. He says, listen, it's urgent. Remember who I am. God's light shining in the darkness. Choose me, follow me before I'm gone and spiritual blindness overtakes you and you are completely lost. Have you ever been caught in a blackout or walked around blindfolded for some weird reason? Well, spiritual blindness is like walking around blindfolded, but in our hearts. This is why Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. See, there's a blindfold over the eyes of our hearts. But Jesus comes personally to remove them, to remove these blindfolds because of our sin. He removes our blindfolds so we can see him for who he is. God's light shining in the darkness, so we may choose him and let him lead us back to God. So we see God's light, we choose God's light, we follow God's light, and we do it now because the alternative is darkness, spiritual blindness, lostness, separated from God forever. Because end of verse 36, we read, that when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. And this is scary because it's a warning that how we respond to the light now decides where we end up for eternity. I repeat that. How we respond to the light now decides where we end up for eternity. Because the first time Jesus comes to save, but the next time he comes, it will be in judgment. In verse 45, he says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them on that last day. So friends, let's not be like this crowd. We who have so much more than the Old Testament. We who have the gospel truth that Jesus is the promised king, the suffering servant. God himself come to save us from the darkness. And as we come before God, let us humble ourselves. and ask the Holy Spirit to convict us of our darkness, the darkness of our sin, our unbelief, the things we try to hide from God. Let us repent of this darkness so we may see that Jesus is God's light who shines in the darkness, that we may choose him and let him lead us back to God. And verse 36, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. When we believe in Jesus, we become God's children, the children God made us to be, children of light. But notice the order. First, Jesus says, walk in the light. And then he says, believe in the light. So first we follow Jesus, then we believe in Jesus. And there's a purpose for this, because remember, Jesus never says anything by accident, right? Because see, anyone can walk in light. Anyone can follow Jesus. But at a certain point, the light will lead us somewhere we don't want to go. Believing in Jesus could mean your family disowns you, or having to leave your country because of persecution. And I know there are some of you here who've had to go through that. Believing in Jesus could mean losing our friends, our job, our lifestyle. And the darkness seems so much easier, doesn't it? Not believing in Jesus, or just obeying the commands that suit us, that don't disrupt our lives. Thou shalt not murder. Oh, I can manage that. Love your enemies. Oh, not so much. But let me just say how encouraged I've been since coming to this church at WRCC. Been so encouraged by the way this church family has not only followed Jesus, but the way you've believed in Jesus. Last year when times were tough, this year when finances were low, you not only kept your eyes on Jesus, you put your trust in him. And I've been so inspired by it, so moved, that I've decided to start coming here, as Chris said. So it is really one thing to follow Jesus and say, I'm a Christian, because anyone can say, I'm a Christian, that's fine. But to believe in Jesus, to act out that belief, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? But once we believe in Jesus, then we become children of light. And children of light are in the light. They're in Jesus. Children of light are like the light. They are like Jesus, who through the Holy Spirit renews them every day to become more and more like him. Children of light know the truth because Jesus is the truth. They have discernment. They can tell truth from lies, good from evil, light from darkness. Children of light know the way. They have direction. They know where they're going. Their lives have meaning, purpose. Children of light have hope, the hope of eternal life, because Jesus is the life. Okay, I confess I was struggling with this as I was writing this part of the sermon. Chris knows. I was just thinking, how can I get up there and talk about being a child of light when I don't feel like one? But see, if you're like me and you're looking at this and you're thinking, I'm not feeling that, well, that's because we've forgotten the most precious part about being children of light, the cross. You see, Matthew tells us, Chapter 27, verse 45. From noon until 3 in the morning, darkness came over all the land. And Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? And then When Jesus breathed his last breath, the curtain of the temple tore in half. Do you know what this means? The curtain of the temple is what separated human worshippers from the Holy of Holies, where the tabernacle, the Ark of Covenant, was kept. And the reason there had to be a curtain between the tabernacle and the people is because the tabernacle was filled with God's light, his presence. Don't you see? Before, when God came to his people, the Israelites, he had to come as a cloud, otherwise his light would have killed them. But God comes to us as a person, Jesus Christ. And on the cross, the light of the world became our darkness. He got the separation from God that we deserved, so that by believing in him, we can be dressed in his light and get the oneness with God that he deserved. As God's children, children of light forever. This is why when Jesus died, the curtain that separated us from God was completely destroyed. Does this move you? Does this melt your heart? Then let us walk as children of light. Let us respond to Jesus. Let us follow Jesus. Let us believe in Jesus, so that others will see his light shining through us. And by his Spirit, they too may see Jesus as the light who shines in the darkness, so that they may choose him and let him lead them back to God. Let's pray. Dear loving Father,